Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Happy Friday morning, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the Friday DFS version sponsored by WinBet. We appreciate them for that. I am Scott Jensted, joined as always on Friday mornings by Ryan Belongi. I got it right this time. It only took me 4 or 5 weeks. I'm really proud of myself. Ryan, how are you this week?
Oh, I'm doing good, Scott. Last week went much better. I think we both had a good week. A few things I wanted to say about last week. Before we get started. So the cash lineup that I played ended up being very popular. In the $250 double up, it was duplicated with over 50 people. So over a quarter of the people in the tournament had the same lineup. And in the $100 double up, over 100 people had the same lineup, and there's only 1,000 people in that tournament. Now that's fine. I mean, it was pretty obvious.
Exact same lineup though.
Exact same lineup.
Wow. Yeah.
It's somewhat understandable because we had D'Ernest Johnson, Mark Ingram, and James Conner. So everybody used those running backs.
Yeah.
And everybody used Dan Arnold and I'm blanking on the quarterback. Oh, Dak. So,
yeah.
But what I wanted to say is in the $50 GPP, the single entry, the big $50, 50 some people put that lineup into the GPP, which is just crazy. I've never seen anything like that. And, we always talk about don't put cash lineups into tournaments. So first of all, they're just not going to win because, I mean, that lineup had Dak naked with no pass catchers and just no correlation in any of the lineup. And so first of all, it's going to be very tough to just win a tournament. And then even if you do win, splitting with 50 some people in that tournament, it's going to significantly reduce however much money you win. So just a reminder not to put cash lineups in GPPs. But anyways, it was a good week. I know you had a good week too. How about you?
Yeah, it was a really good week. It was close to a great week. I was in the FanDuel Bomb tournament, 9,500 people. I was 39th. One swap from like Mike Williams to either Jefferson or Diggs, which I considered, and then like drop any tight end down and I win it. So it's like right there, you're happy, you do really well, but then you're like, oh my gosh, so close to like, season changing money, but still really good. It's funny you mentioned that about Dak. I had Dak in that tournament. He was only 13% there. So it's, you can see how it opens up in tournaments. D'Ernest Johnson was my one really expensive guy. Popular guy. He was 61%. But the key for me was I went Ramondre Stevenson over, Ingram and whoever else you said, James Conner did really well. But Ramondre Stevenson was 6% in that tournament, had more points than those guys. It was a really nice differentiator between there. So, I loved that lineup as I got to it Sunday. And just, it was live. I had Mike Williams going. He could have gone off on Sunday afternoon. It would have been good, but obviously he was quiet. Kyle Pitts was quiet too. After our first drive, I had him coming back with Dak and CeeDee Lamb. And I had him coming back. And first drive, he looked really good. And then Atlanta offense just fully died, and they're still dead after we saw what happened last night. So it's rough. I mean, 10 days ago that was a 4-4 playoff team, and now they have 7 points in the last 8 quarters. So it's just it's brutal there. But yeah, let's jump into week 11. We got a pretty full slate this week. We got 12 games, 9 early, 3 late. It's a very unbalanced schedule. It's probably because we have the big game in the afternoon. They wanted to kind of get on its own, which is Dallas and Kansas City. But we have the Rams and Broncos on bye. We have 3 primetime games. We won't be talking about New England and Atlanta was last night. Just a horrible, horrible football game in every way. Pittsburgh at the Chargers is Sunday night. The Giants and Tampa Bay is Monday night. Kind of some weird matchups that probably looked better 3 months ago than they do now. But I think the first thing to jump into this week is that we have a lot of low totals. We got 1, 2, 3. We had 7 games that are 45.5 and under. And it makes the one big game stick out even more. We have a game at we have a 49.5 and a 50. We'll get into a second. But Dallas and KC is 56. The Chiefs games have averaged 50.3 points. Cowboys games have averaged 53.2. So these are two really high scoring teams, two teams that were kind of quiet 2 weeks ago there, and they got off the mat big time last week. Both scored a lot of points. Crazy enough, Chiefs at home. Chiefs are 0-9 against the spread the last 9 home games. They've been favored big in a lot of those games, probably the reason, but haven't been dominating at home. But this should be a fun one. And as we were talking, kind of getting on the air, as you mentioned, this is a game that everybody's going to want to have a part of.
Yeah. Like you said, it's the highest total we've seen in a while, yeah. 56. Two teams where we already like to target them for fantasy. And, you know, with the rest of the games, most of them not being appealing, yeah, this game's going to be very popular in tournaments. So fading it would just give you some easy leverage. I mean, you're going to be unique almost right away if you fade that game, but it's a tough game to fade. You know, I wouldn't necessarily recommend fading it. You can get different in other ways too. You can still stack that game and maybe switch off some of the popular running backs and you'll be able to get different that way too. So yeah, it's a really good target. But I think there's a couple other spots we can go to and we'll get into that.
Yeah, and there's going to be one really, really popular running back, which we'll get to here in a little bit, but one that I'm sure everybody knows about. But the other two games that are at least touching high totals, we have Cincinnati and Vegas is 49.5, the game in Las Vegas, and then Indy and Buffalo at 50. You know, obviously to do with the Bills offense, another team that like kind of like Dallas really struggled 2 weeks ago. Josh Allen struggled and then was really good last week. Yeah, it was like 13.4 yards per attempt. We finally got that Stephon Diggs blow up game. We mentioned earlier, you know, if I had gone with the one swap there, I've been playing a Diggs a lot, didn't get to him last week. You know, I liked him, but it was expensive and I just, you know, it didn't really fit with what I had. But two games that I think that, you know, as we're looking for other games that maybe get a little shootouty, I like Cincy in Vegas this week. I like it as a game to target. Indian Buffalo, I'm less excited about just because Buffalo's defense is so good. And I just don't know there. I mean, I love Jonathan Taylor to death, as everybody knows, but a tough defense to play against. Do you have a game there at, you know, that's not Dallas KC that you find yourself thinking, you know, I think this could get into the mid 50s?
Yeah. You mentioned the Bengals Raiders game. That would be my favorite one. I really like the Cincinnati side of that game. Coming off a bye and the Raiders playing Sunday night. I mean, Cincinnati will be much, much fresher. They're also, you know, they kind of have something to prove after a couple disappointing games in a row. And then from a DFS perspective, the players in that game are too cheap, at least from the Cincinnati side. Jamar Chase, 7,200. He's been 76 and 75 the last couple weeks. And then T. Higgins, his salary just never seems to go up, and it's another clear miss price on this slate. So yeah, I really like stacking Burrow with either Chase or Higgins, but you can do both of them also. I'm planning on having some lineups with both of them, and then yeah. The Raiders side has some appealing run backs. Renfro's been getting a lot of targets. You can always go to Darren Waller. He looks like one of the better tight ends on this slate, and it's a good matchup for him too. But I'm thinking about running it back with Bryan Edwards. 4,100, when you do that, it allows the rest of your lineup to look a lot better, saving some money at receiver. We saw him catch a long touchdown on Sunday night, and he should continue to be more involved now that they don't have Ruggs, they don't have a deep threat. He's sort of like their de facto number one wide receiver, if you don't count Renfro and Waller. So yeah, I really like the Bengals stack. I think Joe Burrow bounces back, and I think one or both of those receivers go for big games. And I guess I should mention Boyd too. You can play Tyler Boyd in this spot. He'll be the least popular of the three Bengals wide receivers, but he's cheap, 4,800, and it's a good spot for him too. If I had to single out like my favorite stack, it would probably be Burrow with Chase and or Higgins, and then run it back with Renfro or Bryan Edwards. What about you, Scott? What are you looking at this week?
Yeah, I mean, I like that game too, and it's an interesting spot. But in terms of like favorite stacks, since you went there, I'm gonna jump there right now too. I really like Cincinnati too. That's probably the one that I would have gone with if I had to go favorite stack. But I think I'm just gonna kind of eat some chalk and get different elsewhere. I'm gonna go with Dallas as my favorite stack. I love Dak. I love going with CeeDee Lamb. You could go with Amari. I think the key is you go with Michael Gallup too. He's 4,200. You know, great bounce back spot last week for Dak, and he delivered 296, two touchdowns. Had that late rush TD, which is huge. Really moved my teams up when he scored that late kind of the garbage rushing touchdown, which you'd love to see. But you know, the Chiefs have just not played quarterbacks well. There's only three quarterbacks that have not been top 13 against the Chiefs so far this year. It was Baker Mayfield, Taylor Heineke, and Jordan Love. So like quarterbacks, you don't really expect a lot out of. The Chiefs are 27th in yards per attempt at 8.0, so they're giving up a lot. I love CeeDee Lamb. People have heard me talk about CeeDee Lamb plenty. I drafted him early this year. He was 6 for 94 and 2 touchdowns last week, and he kind of shut it down early too. They took him out early. So I love the Cowboys stack. His targets last 4 weeks are 11, 8, 9, and 7, just getting really involved. The Chiefs play a lot of man coverage. All 6 of Lamb's touches have been against man coverage this year. He's just killing man coverage, which is I just love this spot. And the thing I like about it, and you have to figure out running back, and we'll get there a second, but I love running it back with Tyreek Hill. I'm a huge Tyreek Hill player this week. I think that he's just very involved and due for that huge week. You know, he's getting a ton of targets. You look at his targets the last few weeks, just massive every single week. 12, 13, 12, 9, 18, 11, and 10. You know, yards weren't huge last week, 7 for 83 and 10 targets, but also scored 2 touchdowns. It's a weird year for him. He's played 10 games, been under 8. He's done under 95 yards 8 times. Over 185 yards twice. There's been like nothing in between. It's been wild. Dallas is 31st in the league in yards per catch to wide receivers. I think this can get very back and forth. I'm not breaking any ground here, but I'm going to do a lot of Dak, Lamb, Tyreek, and maybe throw some Michael Gallup in there. Gallup had had a decent game last week, was starting to get involved. I think he had 5 targets, 3 catches. So, you know, you stole my favorite stack, so I'm going to go with the second one. It's a little chalky, but I'm going to go with the Dallas side running back Tyreek as my favorite stack.
Oh, yeah, I love that stack, too. And as far, yeah, we know it's going to be chalky, but the stack that you mentioned, the Dak, CD, Lamb stack, I think that'll be less popular than the other side. And a lot of times people don't like to roster two expensive wide receivers. So the Dak, CD, Lamb, Tyreek, I think you're going to get, it won't be too hard to get unique after that. So, yeah, really like
that
stack.
I think we're getting big blow up Tyreek Hill game this week.
Yeah, me too.
So the low totals, we mentioned the low totals. There's 7 of them. We're going to have to find some players from these games, but man, it's tough. As I was scrolling through these games, a lot of them like, nope. We have Detroit and Cleveland, 43.5. The Niners, I'm a Niners fan, as we all know, got the sweatshirt on. I was shocked by Monday night's development. I thought the Rams were going to come in there and kind of roll over them. The Niners looked so bad against Arizona, and they showed a ton of heart. They showed a ton of fight. They showed a really good game plan. Kyle Shanahan got back to the run and was like, you know what? We're going to run. It's what we do well. I'm just going to stick to it. He made a joke in the locker room early in the game or pregame. He said he wanted to run the ball 40 times, and everybody kind of laughed. Ran the ball 44 times, which is actually, I think, more than that Green Bay championship game that everybody talks about how many times they ran the ball. But sorry, I had to get my Niners talking there real quick. Miami and the Jets at 45. Washington, Carolina, 42.5. Baltimore, Chicago, 45. New Orleans, Philly, 43.5. Houston, Tennessee, 44.5. I don't think I've ever seen a game or a week where we had 7 games that are 45 and under. It's a weird time in the NFL. A lot of teams playing defense, a lot of teams playing bad offense, and we're kind of seeing a lot of teams play each other this week. So it's a weird week in that you have so many low games, that one super high game. You know, finding that middle ground and finding some low percentage roster guys is going to be tough and interesting.
Yeah, I think there's a couple spots. I don't know. Do you want? Should we get into a couple now?
Yeah. Let's wait on those. Let's talk about who's going to be popular first. Let's talk about those cash left guys. Last week you mentioned like everybody was really popular. That's still wild. Those percentages on how many teams are the exact same teams. You expect the same players, but the same team is pretty wild. But let's talk about who's going to be popular. Who we think is going to be highly rostered at quarterback. I kind of see a triumvirate at the top. And then I see one cheap guy that's going to be popular. My trend for the top, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes is down to 7,600. Allen's 8,100. Lamar's 8,000. Do you see a clear guy among this three that he's going to be most popular? Where do you fall on these guys? You think it's going to be Mahomes because that's the game everybody's attacking?
Yeah. I like Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, but I do think it's going to be Mahomes. Yeah. Basically just for two reasons. One, he's $500 cheaper, and two, that's the game with a 56 total.
Yeah.
It just makes sense. As far as cash overall, quarterbacks not quite as clear cut this week. I'm looking in the top range. I'm looking at Mahomes or Dak. I think you can go to Allen or Lamar if you have the salary, but that might be tough if you're rostering McCaffrey and an expensive receiver, which we'll get to the other positions later. But I think at the top, it's either Mahomes or Dak. And then you can go all the way down. You mentioned there might be a cheap guy that's popular. Cam Newton's 5,100.
Yep.
I'm not sure I will go there, but I understand it. It makes sense. You don't have to do a lot for 5,100 to get there, especially in cash. He has rushing upside, and we know around the goal line, he's probably their main touchdown threat. And then there's one other guy I think is in play. Don't cringe when I say this, but it's another cheap one.
I don't have a cheapie down here, so I'm already ready to cringe.
Okay, well, it's Tua Tagovailoa.
That's the one I won't cringe for. I had him a little bit later talk about kind of one-off quarterbacks. I think that's workable too.
Yeah. So Miami, that game's a low total, but Miami has an implied total of almost 25. And the Jets have just been a great team to target for fantasy. And I actually, if people are rostering Newton, I mean, Tua has a better projection. I like Tua better. Just 1v1, so it can't be too bad for $400 more. And I think cheap at quarterback makes more sense than in other weeks because, we have McCaffrey and, Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, those types who are in play at the other positions. What about you? Did I miss anyone? I didn't talk about the mid range. I mean, you can go in the mid range for cash too. Who do you like in the mid range?
Yeah, not really anyone. I think that it's one of the four guys you mentioned up top, or then it's I'm not playing Cam. I don't really like Cam very much this week, but he's so cheap that I fully get it. Also, like the key is he could run in for two touchdowns, and that's kind of all you need at that point. I just don't love him as a passer, and I hate going with a guy that I always like running guys. So I want a guy that passes too, and I just haven't seen enough. Nobody has. We just don't know if that shoulder's really there. We don't know how much he can get the ball out. It may burn me, but I'm probably not going to play it. I would play Tua. If I were to go cheap, I'd play Tua at 5,500 before I play Cam at 5,100. I probably am in the minority on that one, but I prefer that. Cash games or tournaments, I think that's I'm Tua over Cam this week. I just want to see it. I mean, Cam has a great matchup, which is key too. He's playing Washington. He's given up a lot of passing yards. They've been better lately, but now Chase Young's out for the year. Montez Sweat is out. So the Washington defense is banged up and has not been good all year. Improving a little bit. They played Brady pretty well last week, but I think that Mahomes will be the most popular, coming off that game when he had 406 and five touchdowns. It'll be interesting in this matchup. I mean, we'll obviously talk a lot about Kansas City, Dallas. We already have, but imagine if the Cowboys go with the two deep safety defense that have been bugging Kansas City. They don't play a lot. They play a lot of man. So it's a matter of if they want to do what they do well and see what happens, or if they want to fully adjust and do what does well against Kansas City. So it'd be an interesting, I'm hoping, I don't know what channel that game's on, but I'm hoping Romo's on that game. Could break down a lot of defense for us. It'd be fun. I think it's actually might be the Fox game though. So we might get Aikman, so he can break some stuff down too. But, Dallas allowing 7.6 YPA, Mahomes off the huge game in the huge matchup, Sunday afternoon. I think Mahomes will be the most popular. In tournaments, that would make me go over to Josh Allen if I'm going to go expensive. But, you know, I think I like the matchup against Indy a lot. They're 23rd in the league in YPA at 7.7. He's off the huge game. I think we've he's figured out some defenses too. So I'd go Allen if I want to get different in a tournament. But, you know, I think Mahomes would be most popular.
Yeah, I agree. I think Mahomes will probably be the most popular. I think it'll be
how popular do you think Cam will be? Do you think Cam's gonna be super popular, or just people are gonna be sprinkling him in? Like, it just, that 5,100 sticks out pretty good.
Yeah, it's tough for me to, it's tough to gauge. I think, I don't know, he'll be relatively popular, maybe in cash games, maybe in the teens. I don't know. I don't, because, you know, I'm with you. I don't love Cam this week. I prefer Tua. You know, I've heard people talking about Cam and the price tag. It looks very good for 5,100, but I don't know. I think there's probably enough people who feel the way we feel. But yeah, it won't, he'll be relatively popular. I don't know. Nothing crazy though.
Yeah. So we'll get into popular running backs here now, but first a note from our sponsors at WinBet. There's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions, and even more so, making the right decision. Listen up, I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WinBet is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's Fantasy Podcast. WinBet brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more all at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WinBet's digital casino and take a spin on roulette, double down on blackjack, slam the slots, and try your hand at baccarat. WinBet is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, all while rapidly expanding. At WinBet, the possibilities are limitless. WinBet is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WinBet now. That's W-I-N-N-B-E-T. WinBet, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's Fantasy Podcasts.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So, Ryan, running back is interesting this week. I have a bunch of expensive guys I want to talk about later as in tournaments, like, you know, how you can get a little bit different or which guys are going to be you like the most. But of the expensive guys, I think that Christian McCaffrey is probably going to be the most popular. He's 8,900. You know, looked fully back again last week, 13 for 95 on carries, 10 catches for 66 yards. And he kind of took off the fourth quarter. Like, the snaps look low, but they got blown out in both those the game he's played. So he set up both four quarters. That won't happen if the game is relatively close. And against Washington this week, you got to figure that's a pretty close game either way. I guess the risks on this one are, I mean, he's C-Mac, so he could beat anybody. But Washington's tough against the run, 3.6 yards per carry. And you worry inside the five, is it going to be all Cam rushing touchdowns?
Yeah, I think the goal line – inside the five, I think that's the biggest worry with McCaffrey. Touchdown upside is not what it would be with another quarterback. I definitely think Cam is the number one option down there. And you know, with the way Cam plays, he wants to score those touchdowns. He's going to try to run it in
You can't do the Superman celebration unless you score.
Right, exactly. So yeah, that's, you know, a little bit cause for concern. I mean, McCaffrey's expensive. You want him to have touchdown upside, but it's just a great spot. And can't, you know, he's going to get targeted a ton in the passing game. He caught all 10 of his targets last week. He looked great. He looked great running the ball too. It's just such a good matchup. Yeah, I agree. He's going to be the most popular, and I'm planning on playing him in cash. It's a good spot, and his floor is just so high. And, you know, it doesn't mean he can't score a touchdown from the 10 or the 20 right. or the 50. So, yeah, I like Cam, but he could get some touchdowns vultured by Cam.
Yeah. So we're going to jump into the expensive running backs in a little bit when we talk tournaments. I want to jump down. I think there's two running backs down here that are going to be popular. I think one is going to be uber popular, and that is A.J. Dillon. 6,200. I think everybody's going to have A.J. Dillon cash games, tournaments. No Aaron Jones this week. They're at Minnesota. Dillon last week is 21 for 66, two touchdowns, two catches for 62 yards. He had a big pass play. They have no one else. Kylan Hill is out. Aaron Jones is out. Like, I think they have, I can't even remember who Ryquell Armstead, I think, might be the backup, which is like, I remember 3 years ago in the Jacksonville days, people were excited about him. But like, there's nobody else. Granted, Rodgers can throw the ball, Green Bay can throw the ball, go through the air, but like, Dillon's going to be involved a lot. People love AJ Dillon too. Everybody drafted AJ Dillon as like their RB0 guy that they was going to break out, and everybody wanted him. So I think everybody's just been itching to play AJ Dillon all season. Now they have their chance. I think AJ Dillon is going to be uber popular, 6,200. Doesn't mean you can't play him. I'm sure I will a bunch. I think he's going to be really good. I think he is really good, which is the key. Like, a lot of the times we get these cheap guys off injury and we don't know how good they are. I think we all think AJ Dillon's pretty darn good. And then you got James Conner again, 6,100. They're at Seattle. Seattle's been brutal against running backs, allowing 180 total yards to running backs so far per game this year. Conner leads the NFL in touchdowns. Wasn't great last week, but still at 64 total yards and scored again. So kind of worked out. He wasn't quite as good as the other cheap running backs, but still worked out. I'd like Connor a lot more if Kyler was back. I don't think Kyler's going to play again. This is really a lingering ankle injury. Am I crazy, or is AJ Dillon going to be the most popular guy by leaps and bounds on the entire slate?
No, you're not crazy. He's definitely going to be the most popular in cash games and tournaments.
I think so too.
In cash games, you just plug him in and forget about it. For one, it's okay to follow the chalk in cash games. That's actually a good thing. It's a good thing. But for tournaments, yeah, he's going to be the most popular in tournaments too. And you can make an argument for fading based on that reasoning alone. However, yeah, I like Dillon too. It's hard not to. He's too cheap at 6,200 as the feature back, and catching passes now too.
And goal line too. Like, it's all there. Yeah.
Everything, right? Like, you know, you could make an argument for this role. He could be 7,500. I don't know, you know, as the lead back with receiving upside, touchdown upside, playing for a good team. Yeah, it just all makes sense. So yeah, I plan on, you know, rostering quite a bit of AJ Dillon, even in tournaments. Yeah, in cash games, just forget about it. And then I agree. Yeah, Connor would be the next one to consider. I also agree with you that I much prefer him if Kyler Murray starts.
Yeah.
We saw the Cardinals really struggle last week without Kyler, and Connor was on track to bust until he got that late touchdown run in the fourth quarter. I mean, he still only scored 15. So yeah, I'll be looking to fade him if Kyler's not in, or else if Kyler does play. I think Connor is my third running back in cash as things stand. I mean, McCaffrey, Dillon, Connor seems pretty good. Yeah. Connor would be the one to take out, obviously, if you like someone else or if we get an injury and something opens up. But yeah, let's looking at some other running backs in the cheap range. If we don't go Connor, people are talking about Myles Gaskin. It's the Dolphins again in that great matchup against the Jets. I saw a crazy stat about the Jets against running backs. I don't know if this is exactly it, but I want to say they've given up like 16 RB1s over this season, and there's only been 11 games. So, I mean, that's crazy. Two running backs sometimes against them, but they're just getting crushed by running backs. You know, I don't love rostering Gaskin. You know, the Dolphins offensive line isn't great. Gaskin isn't great, but the matchup's great. and he has some receiving upside and, you know, a lot of touchdown equity in this spot. So I understand it.
I do too, but no thanks.
Yeah, you know, I get it. You know, it's probably no thanks for me too. I'd rather target Tua in the passing side of that game, but yeah, I get it. You can't argue with those numbers and the Jets against running backs.
Let's jump to we'll talk about mid-range running backs kind of later, but let's talk about receivers. Who do you think is going to be popular there? Because I think it's going to be, there's a triumvirate of top guys going to be most popular. I think Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, and Stephon Diggs will be the most popular. Where do you think we get the most rostership out of the expensive receivers?
I think Devontae out of the expensive receivers, I think Devontae will be the most popular, at least for cash games. Maybe not for tournaments, because that Kansas City Dallas game is so appealing for stacks and for GPPs. But yeah, when Devontae is, you know, similarly priced to the other guys, people just play Devontae, and it makes sense. Can't argue with that. First receiver in my cash lineup is probably going to be T. Higgins. We talked a little bit about the Bengals being in a nice spot against the Raiders already, and Higgins' salary just never moves. I'm guessing it's because he hasn't caught a touchdown since week two, but that's a little bit random, you know. And he has 30 targets, I think, in the last 3 weeks, and he's getting end zone targets too. I know I saw him get tackled at like the half yard line the other game. I saw ball get knocked out of his hands in the end zone. Burrow's targeting with deep balls too. So I mean, that the fact that he hasn't scored a touchdown, I don't think is anything to look into. But I guess that's why his salary is so cheap. It feels like he should be about 6K for the targets he gets and the matchup. But what about you? Where are you looking this other receivers for cash?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I think that I like Higgins too at 5,400. I think that game, I think a lot of people will shift to that game, kind of the secondary, like where else am I going to get points after KC and Dallas. So I like that. I mean, you mentioned the targets on Higgins last 3 weeks, and he's done well with it too. Like, he hasn't scored, as you said, but I mean, 62, 97, and 78 yards. Like, he's done, you know, that's what, 13.2, 11.7, and 13.8. Like, it's been fine production. Like, you want that touchdown so you can get 19, 20 points, but it's right there. And I like that game too. I think Higgins for sure. When you talk about the expensive guys, like you mentioned, like you just kind of said, everybody's going to play Devontae or Tyreek. I wonder if that makes Stephon Diggs less popular than he should be. I mean, he had the explosion games. So you kind of figure people are going to play him with that, but you're right. When you look at Devontae and Tyreek, I think people are going to click there. The Colts are allowing a league high 21.5 points per game to wide receiver ones this year. They're just getting thrashed by good receivers. Jacksonville did nothing last week, but they don't have any good receivers, so that's the problem. So there is no wide receiver one really in Jacksonville. Marvin Jones, I was kind of hoping he would do a little bit, and didn't happen. But you look at, I mean, Elijah Moore, 2 touchdowns. Then AJ Brown was 10 for 155 and a touchdown the week before that. Debo in the rain was 77 for 100 and a touchdown. So like they're just getting thrashed by number one receivers. So I wonder if Diggs, like, it just kind of gets a little bit under roster this week, just because those other two guys are going to suck up so much of it.
Yeah, he definitely will for tournaments. Yeah, I think that's a great call. I'd expect most tournaments for him to, you know, be in maybe the single digits. Even
it's just hard. It's hard to get him in. Like, if you play KC Dallas, there's just no way you can get him in. If you don't play KC, if you go with, like, you were talking with Cincinnati, then you can get him in. But like, if you do that, then you're gonna be like, I'm just gonna play Devontae, right? Like, it's just there's not a lot of paths, you know, besides the fact that he's there, people play him to be just he's Stephon Diggs. I don't think there's a lot of paths where it's easy to get him in, especially if you want to play C-Mac at running back or one of the, we're gonna talk about other expensive running backs in a second, but it's just not a lot of paths to get an $8,000 receiver with the way this slate lines up.
Right. And especially if you use an $8,100 quarterback with him.
Yep.
It's very tough to get Diggs in. I think that's a great leverage play in tournaments. We saw Diggs on all of the winning lineups last week. We know what kind of potential he has. When you can get guys like that in the single digits in terms of rostership, yeah, it makes a lot of sense for tournaments.
Yeah, I think Allen Diggs is going to be, you know, that's what is that, 16,000 total. I don't think a lot of people are going to play that stock this week. I think it's going to be everybody's going to be elsewhere. And if you're going to get, like you mentioned, the Bengals one, that people will be on that. I just don't think everybody's going to go expensive bills. I think that in a tournament, I think that's a really interesting way to go.
Definitely. Just try to run through a few other cash options because receiver is not as clear cut as it's been. You know, in recent weeks, there's been a lot of options at receiver, some great options that we were just sure to go to, but not so much this week. Like Higgins would be my first, as I mentioned, but elsewhere in that range, I think you can look, you know, people will look at Renfro. His salary is up there now, but I understand it. He's, you know, the top target, eight targets the last 3 weeks. It makes sense for cash games. I think Waddle is okay for cash games as the number one receiver in a great matchup with Tua back. I like him much better with Tua than with Jacoby Brissett. I think you could use Amari Cooper in cash games. Again, I'm not like so much of an Amari guy, but I understand it. It's a good price in the highest total game. Makes a lot of sense. And then the other spot I think you can go, and it's weird, you know, you normally don't target these two guys for cash, but DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett.
I love Lockett this week.
Yeah. I like both of them. Good salary on both. And, you know, should be a bounce back spot for Seattle, especially if Kyler Murray is out. Yeah, just good salaries on both those guys. So those are the other cash receivers I'm looking at. If you want to go all the way down, you mentioned him when you talked about the Cowboys stack. There's not much for like cheap value, like safe cheap value, but I'd understand Michael Gallup if you really need the salary. It's just a great spot. He got targets, five targets last week. Yeah, I don't know. There's just not much to say. It's a great spot and he's cheap. So if you need it, I don't mind it. Anyone I'm missing or any?
No, I think after the top guys in Higgins, I think cash wide receiver will be kind of split around. I don't think there's going to be a lot of obvious ones. So as we talk mid-range receivers, we'll give you some more ideas. But I like the Jalen Waddle one. It's probably the one that I would go with in that range. I know the depth of target's not great, but he's getting a ton of targets. I think he's a little more upside than Renfro does. I like the touchdown upside there with Littleman. I like the big play upside more with him. I know that, and I do like him. Like you said, I like him a lot more with Tua, who pushes the ball a little bit more down the field than Brissett does. But so I get the people who don't like Waddle just because of the depth of target, but I think he's explosive enough where he can, you know, take one of those for a big play and maybe make something happen. But let's talk about some other stacks, some tournament stuff here. But first, a note from our sponsors at Yahoo DFS. The NFL season is heating up, and Yahoo is going big on daily fantasy football all season. There'll be a ton of big prize contests throughout the year on Yahoo, including their multi-entry contest now being shark-free. To celebrate Yahoo going big on DFS as well as Yahoo Daily Fantasy becoming shark-free, Yahoo is giving all users the opportunity to claim a free $10 site credit. Users can take advantage of this free $10 site credit to join any paid contest, including Yahoo's biggest contest, the weekly $1 million DFS NFL Baller Contest. The weekly $1 million contest features $1 million in total prizes in first place and receiving $100,000 and a ton of overlay and prizes in this contest. Play daily fantasy football at Yahoo this season. Visit sports.yahoo.com/dailyfantasy/welcome to claim the free $10 offer and to get started there. So we talked about our favorite stacks already. You stole my Bengals one, so I'm going to give you credit for that one. I took Dallas just because, I mean, it's kind of obvious. But say you're playing tournaments. You want to do something different. I think that Cincinnati is the way that I would go. I'm running it back with Bryan Edwards if I got to do it. I like the price saving from Renfro. I don't love how Waller's playing right now, but I have no problem going with Waller. I mean, 6,100, his price come down a little bit. He's pretty close to those other two receivers. Sorry, Bryan Edwards is 4,100, right? Not 5,100.
4,100.
So that's, yeah, I like the price drop off Renfro there a lot. And I like it off Waller too, but I would understand going with Waller. If I were to do it though, I'd go Waller over Renfro for pretty much the same price now that they're so close. But we mentioned Dallas. Obviously, we mentioned Kansas City plenty, so we're not going to take that. But what about some sneakier stacks? Where would you go if you wanted to get away from KC Dallas? You weren't going Cincinnati. Is there any place else you want to go? Like, I'm going to tournament here. I'm going to go big. I'm going to get a big game out of a couple guys here and be a little different from someone else.
Yeah. You know, it's tough to find spots with all these low total games, but –
Don't take mine this time.
Yeah, I hope not. I'm going to go to a place that we've mentioned for a few reasons already, and it's Miami. Tua's cheap. Great matchup. Jalen Waddle, I agree with everything you said. I like Waddle. I like Waddle more than most people. I don't care about the depth of target. He's an explosive player. He can take it to the house, you know, on a screen, you know, anything. And then Gesicki.
I don't mind Gesicki either in that game. He got zero catches last week, although he did see
seven targets. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I like going back to Gesicki. It's a nice stack because it's cheap, no matter who you go with. And you don't have to run it back with a jet, but you can.
Who is that jet would be my biggest question in this one.
Okay. Yeah. That is the biggest question. And it's tough because, you could make an argument for Corey Davis, Elijah Moore, Jamison Crowder, or Michael Carter. I looked at the four games that Flacco started with the Jets 2 years ago. In two of those games, one Crowder had 13 targets and another he had 10. The way Joe Flacco plays and, being an older quarterback who's not mobile anymore, I'd expect him to try to be getting the ball out of his hands quickly. I'm not sure if he's going to target Michael Carter the way that Mike White did, but I'm pretty sure he'll be targeting Jamison Crowder. You don't have to run it back with a jet. I get it if you don't want to. I might not either, but I don't mind Crowder. And, I guess take a shot on Corey Davis or Elijah Moore.
I think I would do it with Carter, but I really like the point you made on Crowder there. I think you're right with Flacco, what he's going to do. I think I like Flacco with Carter because I think he jumps it down. But if I go to the receivers, I think it would be Crowder just based on the fact that I think he's getting a lot of underneath work. I mean, you look at Crowder kind of quietly the last 4 weeks, 6, 9, 7, and 6 targets. Granted, he hasn't done much with it. He had one good game in there. He's 8 for 84. The other games were under 40 yards. So it's probably not going to be, a lot. What you kind of hope is that he catches 7 balls and maybe scores a touchdown. It's kind of how it works. And then you really get there. And he's priced well. And so you can get there with that. But mine's different here. Mine's a stack that I don't think anybody's going to play. And I do like it this week in a really good matchup. I just think it's going to get lost a little bit. But I like Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown against Houston. I think that Houston will make people look at it, but I just think there's so many ways to go. And I think A.J. Brown is 7,700, which puts him in that range with the other three guys we talked about. I think he gets lost in that range again. I just think that people are going to go elsewhere. Tannehill's 6,700, so you can kind of you save some money there. You maybe can go a second expensive receiver with Brown, or you could play a McCaffrey, that sort of thing in this lineup. Great matchup. No Derrick Henry to lean on, which I love for Tannehill, both at the goal line. Maybe, he likes to run that run option a little bit. You wonder if they'll get game scripted, like if they're up 21-3 on Houston, how much they really throw the ball. But the Texans are 20th in YPA at 8.1, so they can't stop the pass. And we've talked about it many times. I love wide receivers. Stud wide receivers off really bad games, and A.J. Brown was really bad last week. 1 for 16 on 4 targets, 5 for 42 the week before that. So that's back to back really bad games after the big blow up game he had earlier. So you take out the 4 targets last week. It was obviously a bad game, but it was 9, 9, 11, 11 the 4 games before that. Obviously really involved. Houston's allowed 9.2 yards per target, which is bottom 5 in the NFL. I think this is a stack that makes a lot of sense. If Houston can just do a little bit to stay in this game, it could get really good. And I think it's going to be under roster this week. And it's an easy run back, too. You just play Brandon Cooks on the way back. Brandon Cooks is only 6,000. Gets a ton of targets, very involved. If they're down, hopefully A.J. Brown scored twice to put them down, but you get Cooks with a lot of targets coming back. I think it's a stack that I'm going to play on a lineup or two, and I really like how it pieces together this week.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd say that one, actually. Really like it, too. And you mentioned, the worry is Tennessee goes up 28-0 or something, but that's not always that bad because Tannehill might have all 4 of those touchdowns.
Yeah, that's the hope, right? I mean, they just don't have a running back they're going to feed, which is key. And I mean, they'll run the ball a bunch if they're up, but it's not like they're like, all right, we're up 14. Let's just hand it to Henry 100 times. So I think their offense just kind of plays different.
And then I don't know how you feel about this, but I love A.J. Brown. And I wouldn't mind adding a second Titans pass catcher, Marcus Johnson. I don't know.
He looked good last week.
He really did. Caught five balls on 6 targets for 100 yards. They're looking for a number 2 wide receiver without Julio Jones. You got to think he's going to get opportunities again. So if you want to add another receiver to that stack, I think it makes a lot of sense for only 3,500.
I do too. And I had him as a guy to talk about kind of the cheap receivers. I think you could play him in a tournament, like just without Tannehill, just like if you need a cheap price, you need someone to slide in there. I mean, I like not only the targets, but I liked how he looked. Like he was catching the ball and getting the ball upfield. He looked fast. And you're right. They're looking for a second guy. They don't have one. And I think that he's playable. I think he's playable in a tournament as your cheap receiver to save some money. I think that works just by himself too.
I agree. Yep. You can play him just naked. Yep.
So let's talk about the expensive running backs. We haven't talked a lot there. We talked about McCaffrey. I think he's 8,900 on FanDuel. 89. So we've got this like group of five guys like kind of right beneath him that are 7,600 to 8,200. It's an interesting range and like all studs, like obviously they're priced up for a reason, but you know, some are some tough matchups. But we have Dalvin Cook at 8,200. We have Jonathan Taylor at 8,300. Nick Chubb is fascinating because the matchup's amazing. He's key. He got activated off the COVID IR today, but we have no idea like how healthy he is, how his cardio is, how in shape he is, how much they use him. But he's 7,800. Zeke is 7,700. And I think, you know, a game where everybody wants it, you're going to get some pieces there. But I think people are going to go with the passing game. So I don't think you have Zeke at 7,700 be too high. And then Joe Mixon, 7,600. So there's this weird range of guys below McCaffrey, but above the Connor and A.J. Dillon range. So I don't think any of these guys are going to be super popular. What are you doing in this range? Is there anybody you're going to play? Do you like one more than the other? Where do you fall in these five guys?
Yeah, this is a tough range. There are some guys I'm considering. So Dalvin Cook, last year he had 5 touchdowns against the Packers, 3 in one game, 2 in the other.
That'll work.
That's what Minnesota is going to want to do, I think. I don't know if I'm going to go there, but it makes sense. Nick Chubb, I think, is my favorite. There's concerns. Every reason you mentioned is a concern, but
do you need a quote from the coach of something like, oh, he looks great, he's fine, full workload? Do you need something like that to play him?
I would like something like that to play him. As long as I don't hear that he's limited or that like he might split, but like if I don't hear anything, I think that's okay. Yeah, you'd like a quote. But if you don't get one, for all the reasons you mentioned, he'll be like less popular than he would be normally in this spot.
If he's healthy Chubb at this price against Detroit, like everybody's playing him. So it's, I mean, they've given up 16 touchdowns to running backs. They're horrible. They're bad. I think Cleveland's going to smoke them. I think Cleveland's going to be up. It's just interesting because you can get him a spot. He would be super popular otherwise. So it's a fascinating play this week. I don't know what I'm going to do. I think I might need a quote a little more than you do.
Yeah. And just like you said, as far as the matchup, this Browns-Lions game has the biggest O-line, D-line mismatch on the slate. The Browns have the 3rd rated offensive line in the NFL. The Lions, I believe, have the 29th rated defensive line. So just a huge mismatch.
Great stat right there. I love that.
And then, yeah, Zeke. I think Zeke's interesting. I agree with you that people are going to target the passing game.
Yeah.
But I could see the Cowboys slowing this down. And if you have Zeke, or trying to slow this game down at least. Earlier, I believe, I forget what week it was. It might have been week 2 or 3. The Cowboys-Chargers game was just like mega chalk. It had a mid-50s total. Everybody targeted it, similar to this game. And it ended 20-17. I mean, it went way under. For a while, the Cowboys were slowing it down on offense for a while. And you got to think, you know, if they get an early lead, they would like to just lean on Zeke. I mean, that's the goal. And if you just roster Zeke in that game instead of the pass catchers and instead of the quarterbacks, and that game goes the right way, that's a lot of leverage for tournaments. So I do like Zeke. What about
how,
you?
How crazy is a one-off Tony Pollard play in a tournament at 4,700? Too crazy?
No, not too crazy. I don't know about as a one-off. Like, it feels like it'd be good. Yeah, I mean, sure. I guess a one-off's fine, but like, what kind of game script do you want for that? I feel like you want the Cowboys trailing and playing catch-up so he catches passes.
Or up a couple touchdowns and they don't use Zeke as much. But yeah, it's a hard to find a game through there. I mean, the obvious game script is that like Zeke gets banged up a little bit, which has happened a couple times. I mean, that, but it's hard to bank on that. But he's just so good and so cheap. I mean, he had 17 touches last week.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you got to think a lot of those touches were because they won by 40.
They did. Like, I mean, they took him out, but he had 6 catches last week.
Yeah.
It's just so cheap that, and there's not a lot of like obvious. There's no super obvious cheap running backs below the guys we talked about. There's no like 4,000. You know, there's no D'Ernest Johnson this week because it would be D'Ernest Johnson if D'Ernest Johnson was starting, it'd be him again. But I mean, Pollard's just so cheap and in a high scoring game. I wonder if you do play a stack in that game, how do you piece him in there if you want to get someone super cheap? You just play him. Do you play him like with Dak and CD and hope that they pass the ball a lot and they dump it off to him?
Yeah, or you play him with like Mahomes and Tyreek, or with Mahomes and Kelce, and you know, KC is up double digits and Dallas is chasing the game the whole second half, and right. You know, maybe he catches six balls again and maybe he finds the end zone. Yeah. Yeah, you could play him with Dak too, like you mentioned, but I just feel like he's going to get more work if they're down 10 in the second half or something like that.
Makes sense. No, that's it. We were talking Zeke. I looked at Pollard and he's 3,000 cheaper. It's just, it's an interesting salary there. The only guy in that range, Mixon. Mixon scored the last 6 weeks, 5 touchdowns total the last 3 weeks. So really coming on. Hasn't topped 100 yards rushing since week one. I think I like the passing game so much here that I probably won't get to Mixon at the price.
Right, but yeah, he's gonna go overlooked by everybody, me included. Yep. I'm looking at his game log. He's put up over 25 in 3 out of the last 4 weeks, and like these spots where we love Cincinnati, and we love the passing game. Well, you know, there's plenty of scenarios where the passing game takes them inside the 5-yard line a bunch of times, and Mixon ends up with 3 touchdowns.
Yep.
So, I really like Mixon as like a lower rostered tournament play.
He has 5+ targets in 3 of the last 4 too. He has a 0 in there also, but he's like been involved in the passing game too. And I think that I don't think anybody's going to get to Joe Mixon this week, which makes him, like you said, intriguing for tournaments. Real quick on expensive, low rostered guys. We've talked about like 5 receivers that are in the 77 to 8,400 range. Haven't even mentioned Justin Jefferson. Do you think Justin Jefferson's going to be super low roster this week, even off the big game? We talked last week about the offensive coordinators, like, we got to get Jefferson more involved. Well, 11 targets, 9 for 143. No Jair Alexander for Green Bay, obviously helps receivers. It's hard to get him in because you just think that in this game, people will go Devontae, and then you can't. It's hard to play both of them. You could, but it's really hard to play both of them. You think Jefferson is like 7% owned this week, something like that?
Yeah, I do. Makes him a really good tournament play. Like, yeah, everything you said, it's hard to click Jefferson when you have Tyreek and Adams just right there at the same price.
Diggs is right there too. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a really good call for GPPs. He's going to be, I'd guess, like 5%, you know, maybe less in some tournaments even.
Yeah. I just think he's the name in there that everybody loves him. I think he's the name that people bypass the week and figure just not the week to play him. So, let's talk about some mid-range guys. But first, a note from our sponsors at Thrive. Thrive is back for another season of fantasy football, and they're running huge guaranteed contests each week this NFL season. With Thrive Fantasy, you can eliminate the countless hours of research and focus on only the top-tier athletes that have the biggest impact on the game. Sign up today and get a free 6-month RotoWire subscription. Here's how you can claim your free RotoWire subscription. Number one, visit rotowire.com/thrive. That's THRIVE. Deposit a minimum of $10 and receive a $100 deposit bonus up to $100. Play in your first paid contest and receive a free 6-month RotoWire subscription. So, Ryan, we've talked about the popular guy running backs in the 6,000. We've talked about a lot of the expensive ones. If you want to get a little different from Connor or AJ Dillon this week, I don't love the mid-range this week as much. Like, I think a couple weeks ago, I loved the mid-range running back. I like James Robinson at 6,400 against the 49ers, just because he's so involved in the running game and the pass game. You know, last week he missed 2 weeks. He left early the game before. They still had, 16 touches, 5 targets. In that same game, if Eli Mitchell plays, he has not practiced yet, but I think he's going to play. I like him at 5,800, a 49ers team that is going to emphasize the run like no tomorrow, the second half of the season. That's what they want to do. You know, Mitchell last week wasn't super efficient, but he got 27 carries. He's clearly the guy whenever he's healthy. You know, the Jags are pretty good, actually, at yards per carry. They're pretty good against the run. But you think if the Niners get up in this game, Mitchell could be really nice there. But you mentioned Myles Gaskin. Where are you going in this mid-range? Because I had trouble finding guys to kind of get off. If I want to get off, go different than Connor or Dylan, or maybe play someone else in this mid-range with them. How'd you feel about this range?
Yeah, there's not a lot here. I agree with you. I like Eli Mitchell, 27 carries last week and a you know, a pretty good matchup at Jacksonville. Yeah, everything you said is spot on. Jags pretty good against the run, but like a pretty bad team, and San Francisco just wants to run the ball. So 5,800 is a good price still for Mitchell in that spot.
I mean, one question before I move on for that. If Eli Mitchell sits inactive, do you play Jeff Wilson at 5,100 pretty easily, pretty quickly? Or do you worry that maybe it's a bunch of guys that get touches at that point?
I definitely worry that it's a bunch of guys, but I still play Jeff Wilson. I think it's a good gamble, don't you?
I think he's very clearly the second guy. I don't think he would like walk into full Mitchell carries. You know, they probably have Trey Sermon active. Hasty's hasn't practiced either, but I think he's enough of the second guy. I think there's enough touches there that I think I'd pretty clearly play Wilson if Mitchell wasn't inactive.
Yeah, me too. I think you could still expect, you know, upwards of 20 touches, even if they give it to some other guys too. So yeah, that's a good call. This lower range for running backs tough. So let's start Darrell Williams. Now, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that's important news because that's the game. You know, that Kansas City Cowboys game is a great game to target. Darrell Williams was great against the Raiders. They finally started to use him in the passing game more. And I think that would happen again in this matchup. But if Edwards-Helaire is active, yeah, I wouldn't be quite as interested. So keep an eye on that news. I think David Montgomery's in play. 5,500 is a good price. It's not the greatest matchup against Baltimore, but we've seen Baltimore inconsistent this season, and they've given up some points, and they've played badly against other bad teams. So, yeah, 5,500 for Montgomery. If he's going to get, like, the majority of the work, I think that's okay. And then maybe one other guy who kind of an off-the-board guy, Dante Foreman, 4,900 for the Titans. You know, he looked good last week. And he caught a couple passes, and the matchup's great. You know, it's a stretch down here looking for guys, but – I don't mind Foreman. I don't know. What about you? Any of these guys like standing out for you?
It's standing out, definitely not. But you mentioned all the ones that I'm interested in. I every time I look at Montgomery, I'm like, 5,500 is so cheap, and I just like, I just don't know if I want to do it against the Ravens. But I think Darrell Williams, if CEH sits, is probably the way to go. I mean, he had 9 catches last week. You know, the Chiefs finally were like, you know what? You want to play this defense? We're just going to take everything you give us, and we're moving down the field. And we're—I mean—they killed the Raiders, and that—it's funny because that opened up the deeper stuff. They got some deeper stuff late in the game. Williams had that touchdown down the sideline where he caught the ball, stole it from the DB. It was pretty nice. So I think I think he's interesting just in that you want a piece of that game. I looked really hard at Foreman. I just worry that they play 3 guys. Like he had 21 snaps last week. Like, he had 11 carries and 2 catches. Like, it worked. He looked good. He had a nice catch. He had 48 yards receiving. I hate playing a guy who's going to be on the field for 20 snaps, despite the fact that they used him a lot. And they just should have a lead. They should use him on. He's my favorite guy there, but they get in the 5 and they want to freaking hand the ball to AP. Like, it's hard to get there. But I think I'd play Tony Pollard before I played Foreman. So I was just going to say that
you'd almost rather take a shot on Tony Pollard, right?
Yeah. What about that? What about the receiver mid-range? You kind of mentioned my favorite guy in here is I really like Tyler Lockett this week just because he's so cheap. Now he's 6,000. I know he's bad last week. He was 2 for 23. He still had 8 targets. He hasn't scored since week 2. Like, it just, you get that feeling when we have guys that you get a feeling that there's a Tyler Lockett game coming. He had like 12 catches the week before that. Like, that was with Geno Smith. But I just think that, I think we got Russ. He was bad last week. We just got 1 week to get going. Like, we had with Dak coming up. We have off his injury. This is a longer injury from Russ. You'd like to think that he's fine. Like, there's always a possibility. Maybe he's just not, he played too soon, but I like Lockett a lot of 6,000. Just like, when you get a receiver like that price down, I always tend to kind of gravitate towards that. But I think you play Metcalf too. He's under 7,000, 6,800. I think he's a nice one-off also. You know, he hasn't had 100 yards since week 3, but that's kind of cheating. He had a 95 and a 98 in there, but Metcalf hasn't topped 107 yards in a game this year. Like, that is wild to me. The only thing I'm scared with these two guys, there's a quote that typical Pete Carroll midseason fashion. He said something like, "We need to run it more." I'm just like, my God. The best meme I saw was whoever their punter is. I think it's someone Dixon. It said like, "Let Dixon cook," and it had a play on the let Russ cook. And like, it's just so frustrating. Like, you have Russell Wilson. Like, let him run your offense and do what he does. But Arizona's been tough on wide receivers, so, but I think I might take the savings and just go with Lockett at 6,000. We mentioned Brandon Cooks. I like him at 6,000 too. But who else do you like in this mid-range? Kind of, you know, not the cheapies, but between. I think we kind of hit most of them. We talked about Jalen Waddle. Is there anybody else in here in this, like, you know, 4,500 to 6,500 range that you find yourself liking?
Yeah, I think we kind of hit most of them. I agree. Like, I love Lockett. I'm pretty sure this is the cheapest Tyler Lockett's ever been when Russell Wilson's the quarterback. So,
yeah. What, Waddle. At the same range, do you like DJ Moore at all with Cam at 5,900? I mean, you're talking about cheapest range. We haven't had DJ Moore at 5,900 for a while either. I love DJ Moore, but man, I don't know. I don't know if Cam helps him, hurts him. I don't know what we're getting there.
Yeah, I love DJ Moore too, but I don't like playing receivers that have Cam Newton as their quarterback. Yeah. I just can't do it. Looking a little cheaper. Yeah. You know, there's not a lot. I think it's guys we mentioned. I like Boyd for tournaments just because Chase and Higgins are going to be popular.
How much is Boyd?
Boyd's 4,800.
Coming off his worst game as an NFL player too.
Coming off his worst game as an NFL player, and the two games before that, he had 8 and 7 targets. And if a little football analysis, the Raiders, the pass rush is the best thing about the Raiders defense. They've been getting to quarterbacks pretty quickly, so that bodes well for Tyler Lockett. You know, if Burrow's gonna get the ball out quicker a few times,
you mean Tyler Boyd?
Tyler. Yeah. Tyler Boyd, yeah.
A lot of Tyler's going on, but yeah. I agree with you. The only thing I want to mention here, do you have any – if DeAndre Hopkins doesn't play, Christian Kirk at 5,700, I think is workable, but I think I'd have to have Kyler Murray. Like, I know Kirk had 8 targets last week, but I just don't want to play someone with Colt McCoy. If I'm – you know, we're playing DMs, I get to pick who I want. I just don't think I want to get involved in that offense. But if Kyler plays and D-Hop doesn't, I'd go Kirk at 5,600 pretty quickly.
Yes, yeah, definitely. And also, if Kyler plays and D-Hop doesn't, I'd be okay with AJ Green, 4,600 even. Yep. One of those receivers with Kyler Murray is probably going to have a good game. But I wouldn't go there with Colt McCoy. Looking a little bit lower. I don't know. It's tough down here. Gallup, we mentioned. Gallup's probably the best in this cheap range. I don't know. Is anyone else down here you like?
There are two that I like, and we've already mentioned three guys. We mentioned Gallup, we mentioned Brian Edwards, we mentioned Marcus Johnson. The other two I like, 4,500. I like Rashad Bateman. We talked about Lamar a little bit up top. We didn't talk too much more about, Marquise Brown at 7,100. Probably no one's going to have again in that range, but I think he's playable. But I like Bateman at 4,500. He played less with Sammy Watkins back, but still 8 targets last week, 6 catches, 80 yards. Didn't score, but that's a couple of games we had 80 yards. I just think he's a nice talent for the price. I think that, at some point we're going to get a Rashad Bateman blow-up game. 4,500 for someone this talented, I always like to do. The Bears are allowing an NFL high 9.8 yards per target to receivers, so I think it's a good spot there too. I like that. The other guy I play down here, but I play Bateman over him. Tre'Quan Smith at 4,400. I hate the Saints-Eagles game. Like, there's just no part of this I like at all, but he had 7 targets last week. He's the guy who's playing the most of their receivers. He's playing more than Marquez Callaway, playing more than Deontay Harris. He had 66 snaps each of the last 2 weeks. So he's on the field a lot. Sean Payton trusts him more than he trusts the other receivers, I think. I think he's a decent volume kind of floor play at the price. I think he'll get snaps. He'll get targets. Rashad Bateman excites me a lot more, and so does Michael Gallup, though.
I'm on the same page as you with Bateman. 8 what targets.
About, oh, go ahead.
So no, yeah, I just want Sammy Watkins being back. That did worry me, but it doesn't really worry me like anymore. And going forward, I mean, unless he starts to show more, he only played, I think he played a third of the snaps last week, and he like noticeably didn't look great. I think Bateman's like clearly the number two guy going forward. So yeah, I really like that call. And then I guess just one other guy, because I think I mentioned this guy basically every podcast, but. Mecole Hardman, it's such a great game environment, and it's a good price. And, you know, he's bound to break a long touchdown soon. I know he hasn't really done it this recently, but he's still seeing targets and he's on the field all the time. So I think that's okay.
Yeah, I was a little worried how little he played last week, but it's just one of those guys that you can hit at any time. I mean, you can play Byron Pringle. DeMarcus Robinson. Like, picking between those three guys is just so tough for me that I usually just don't do it. But, mm-hmm. you know, any of the three of them in that game, you want a cheap piece of that game, it can work really nicely.
Yeah, Pringle, you're right. Pringle might be the better play. I don't know, $600 cheaper and more targets. Yeah, take your pick, really.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's, I mean, it's just, you know, Hardman was quiet last week, but had 13 targets 2 weeks before that. So it's kind of take your pick if you want a cheap piece. But what about that? What about tight end? We mentioned Darren Waller at 6,100. I don't love a lot of tight ends. I'm finding it hard to find a guy that I'm like, I'm just going to go play that one. I have a couple of cheapies I want to talk about, but where are you going at tight end this week? It felt like a weird week of tight end. Like last couple weeks, we had like, oh, we just go here cheap or here expensive, kind of call it a day. Obviously, Travis Kelce will be popular at 7,100. Coming off, you know, he had the quiet game, and he has two big games. He's had 18 targets. Two big games. He had 119 yards receiving last week. So obviously Kelsey's in the mix for any kind of Mahomes stack, or if you want to come back on a Dallas stack or you want to play him by himself. What else besides Kelce are you interested in this week?
Yeah, tight end's tough. I think for cash games, it's probably the last position you fill out. Again, I agree. Kelsey's the best play, and he looks good again, and he's cheaper. You know, he's still pretty cheap. You know, Kelce was over 8,000 for the first five weeks of the season, and that was probably the right price for him. It's a little cheap right now. But yeah, as far as other tight ends go, Dan Arnold's treated us really well. He's finally gone up in salary, a pretty decent hike up to 4,100, but I think you can still go there. I mean, he's basically the number one wide receiver for that team. 8 targets, 7 targets, 10 targets. And he's just getting there every week. So I think Dan Arnold is okay. Cheaper than that. Some guys that I didn't think I'd be mentioning. Cole Kmet, 3,400.
That's my play this week.
You like Cole?
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I was very impressed with Fields the last game he played. You know, it was surprising and encouraging to see how well Fields played. And he's been targeting Kmet. So for 3,800 or 3,400, I really like that. And then one other guy, you might be mentioning this guy as well, but 3,100, Gerald Everett saw 8 targets last week. I'm seeing that he hasn't practiced at all this week, but yeah, 3,100 for the Seahawks tight end. Again, like all these Seahawks pass catchers are underpriced, so I wouldn't mind going there. What about you, Scott? What cheap guys are you looking at?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of hit mine. I think I'm Kmet or Dan Arnold. I like how Fields is throwing the ball kind of in the seam to Kmet. He had some shots there last game they played. I think they were on bye last week, but 6, 6, and 8 the last 3 weeks. And the last game was good, 6 for 87. So I do like that 3,400. I think Kmet was a guy we kind of liked preseason, as, you know, he was a high draft pick. He was getting a new quarterback, and it just the Bears offense was so bad for so long. And, you know, none of the receivers have really stepped up. Allen Robinson's been a bust all year. Darnell Mooney, I like, but I think Kmet is someone here that you can play at 3,400. I think Arnold at 4,100 is very playable. Again, they're using him a lot. And the last guy I mentioned, like, I think that there'll be some rushup here. We talked about him in the Dallas stack, but Dalton Schultz is 4,600. He was really quiet last week, really quiet the last 3 weeks. But if you want a piece of this game, 4,600 has got an easy thing to click and get some action in this game. I think Michael Gallup back actually hurts him more than anybody. I think there's like that third option that Dak went to is now Gallup instead of Schultz. But, you know, he has some touchdown equity down there. If they get in the red zone, that they could look to him. I think he's just a cheap piece of the big game, but I'd probably go 1,200 cheaper and go with Kmet as like a guy who's going to get more attention and more action than anybody. And your Everett call is good. I mean, 8 targets last week, 3,100, you know, Russell always likes to use his tight end. So I think that works, but I'd probably go Kmet down here. Tyler Conklin scored twice last week, but had 11 yards. Like, I don't know, but I think I'd go Arnold and Kmet before I went Conklin. He'd probably be third in this mix for me.
Yeah. And then just the last thing I'll say is because this tight end is, I would say, pretty weak this week in the lower range, at least.
Yeah.
I think you can go, if you find a $2,500 guy you like, you can go with it this week. And I guess I bring that up because when I was looking at my Miami stack,
I was considering running it back with even someone like Ryan Griffin. Flacco likes to target tight ends. And again, I'm not necessarily touting Ryan Griffin, but he had seven targets the week before. I just think you can play a $2,500 tight end if you want to. If one of these questionable guys is out, like if Everett's out, if Goddard's out, if I don't know, whoever. I just don't think there's a lot of opportunity cost at tight end. So take some chances in tournaments.
Yeah, that's an interesting point on Everett being out. I guess you could go with Will Disley if Everett's out because he's 2,500. So that's and it's a week where like you might need that punt at tight end. There's so many expensive guys we talked about. Not a ton of easy salary savers. So maybe that's the spot that you do it. But speaking of salary savers, defense is always a good spot to try and do that. And this is a week where you know Tennessee's playing Houston at 3,900 and you're playable. Miami at 3,600 playable. I think it's going to be a week we're going to need to save some money at defense. At least I'm going to. As I was building lineups, like I found myself jumping down into like 3,100 and below. I just couldn't get to Tennessee and Miami without sacrificing something. But among the cheaper defenses, I think everybody will agree that Tennessee and Miami are good players. They're playing Houston. They're playing the Jets. They both, Tennessee gets a lot of sacks. Houston gets up a lot of sacks. I think we agree that those are good plays if you can get there. But if you want to save some money at defense, where are you going? There's one that I really like, and I'm curious if you're going to bring it up.
I mean, I really like the Browns. Does that count as saving? I really like the Browns for 3,100. You know, I usually like to go all the way down, and it's tougher this week looking at that low 2K range. It's tough to kind of find, I don't know, anything to get excited about.
I've got a mid twos I like, but there's nothing in the low twos that I liked.
Yeah. Okay. Mid twos. I would like Seattle if Kyler Murray's out. I was initially considering Washington just because I like to play defenses against Cam Newton. However, Montez Sweat and Chase Young out, it's like it doesn't seem as great. This range is tough. I don't know. Who do you like, Scott?
So there's two I like. You mentioned one of them is Cleveland. I mean, they're 3,100 against Detroit. I feel like they're a little bit underpriced. I'd put them in the Tennessee Miami grouping, but it's just concerning because they got thrashed by the Patriots last week. Like, their defense was terrible. Their offense is terrible too. But the Lions have allowed 10 sacks the last 2 weeks. The Browns have multiple sacks in every game since week two. So I think they're very playable. I think they'll be popular. The one that I like is 2,700. I really like Carolina going against Washington this week. Carolina's sacks last 4 weeks, 2, 3, 2, and 4. So they've been getting to the quarterback. They forced 6 turnovers the last 3 weeks. And Washington, you look at Washington allowed sacks is where I really got excited about this one. The last 3 weeks, they've allowed 5, 5, and 4 sacks. That's 14 sacks the last 3 weeks. So I think your sack floor is really good. And I always like that in a game like this. Heinicke, you know, tends to make some mistakes. He tends to make some chances. He's not super safe, which I like. Carolina gets after the quarterback. I really like this as this game is going to be weird. Like I don't think we know what we're going to get. I think it's going to be a low scoring game, but I do like, I like the Carolina D at 2,700. I think that Cleveland's going to suck up enough popularity that I don't think many people are going to play them. 2,700. I really like them as the way I'm going to save salary. I think you'll get sacks, chance at turnovers, and maybe hopefully a big play, which is always what you hope for. I think it was at Philadelphia last week, and that Darius Slay touchdown was awesome, where Teddy Bridgewater literally didn't try and tackle him. He tried not to tackle him. It was pretty wild. But so Carolina for me and Cleveland, those would be two I go with. But I really like Carolina, kind of a sneakier play this week.
Oh yeah, I'm hopping on that Carolina play. You absolutely sold me. Yeah, those sack numbers are great, and going against Heinicke is a great quarterback to play your defense against. He takes a lot of chances, like you mentioned. Yeah, I'm on board with that.
Yeah, I like that one. I think I'm just going to go Carolina and the Browns and just kind of call it a day and kind of mix and match those between my teams. If I find myself having some extra salary, maybe I'll play on Miami or Tennessee, but I just don't see it with the amount of expensive guys I like this week. I think this is going to be it's got to be a spot this week where you save on defense.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not going to go higher than the Browns.
Yeah. Anybody else do you want to talk about? I feel like we've kind of hit everything. We hit our favorite stacks of the week. We hit, kind of all the price ranges and kind of where they're at and who's going to be popular or not. Is there anybody else that you think we missed or you want to talk about or anything else NFL-wise that's on your mind at the moment?
Yeah, no, I think we hit everything. I'm just like going through all the players. One guy we didn't mention who has a great projection is DeAndre Swift. Still a good salary and, you know, not the greatest matchup against Cleveland, you'd think, but they got absolutely destroyed by New England. last week. So, yeah, I don't mind going to Swift.
Without looking, do you know how many touches DeAndre Swift had last week?
No, but I know – didn't he have like 30 carries or something?
He had 33 carries last week. Granted, yeah, they went to overtime, but like still he had 36 touches. Like it's – without – if Jamal Williams does not play, I think that's a key. You need Jamal Williams not to play. If Jamal Williams doesn't play, like – the Browns are good versus the run, but like if they get down, they'll dump it off to Swift a lot. I think the problem I had is he's expensive. He's 7,000. He's like, he's just not cheap. And there's so many other plays in that range. But yeah, I mean, coming off 36 touches, I mean, I could not believe that line when I saw it.
No, I couldn't believe it either. And it's, you know, surprisingly, they did okay on the ground against the Steelers. Who
he had 130 yards, and the other two guys broke the long touchdowns. It was Igwe Buikwe, and I forget who had the other one. But, like, it was so – if you had Swift last week, like, frustrating because he ran the ball really well, but the two long touchdowns happened to be the two carries he didn't get. So it was a weird week where he got 36 touches. You still felt like you missed out on some stuff.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, everybody, for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the DFS Friday morning version sponsored by WinBet. We always appreciate everybody listening. If you could please rate or review the podcast, it goes a long way to helping us out also, and we really appreciate that too. For Ryan, I am Scott Jensen. If you want to follow Ryan on Twitter, he's at R Ryan. Last name is Belongi. I did it right again. Belongia. I'm at Scott Jensen, Jenstad. If as news breaks, you want to ask us questions on there, talk about who we're playing or moving around. Like last week, we had some movement based on Damian Harris not playing. I moved Ramondre Stevenson up and that sort of thing. So if you have any questions on how we deal with injuries and news and any COVID news, anything like that, please hit us up there. Other than that, hope everybody has a really good week 11. We'll be back at you for week 12. We'll have to talk about scheduling next week, but we'll figure it out with the holiday week, but we'll figure that one out. But we'll be back at you next week talking DFS. Hope everybody has a fantastic week and take care.
Thanks, Scott. Good luck, everybody.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.